There's a dive bar in Brooklyn that's become the local watering hole for murderers and tyrants, adulterers and virgins, Don Juans and divas. In fact, many of the great characters in opera show up in the back room of Freddy's Bar. That's where the opera company, Opera on Tap, performs a monthly concert for younger and drunker audiences than you might find at the Met. NPR's Robert Smith raised a glass there this week.
If you've spent any late-night hours hanging out in a bar, you've probably met a girl like Carmen.
She's hot. She's kind of cruel. She's out for herself and her own interests.
She smokes?
Yeah. I think she drinks, she dances, all that good stuff.
Too bad Carmen's been trapped on an opera stage for the last 130 years. Oh, but not on this night. Bizet's original party girl is shaking it in a bar just like she's Paris Hilton. Soprano Jessica Miller swivels her hips and a few dozen drinkers are riveted. The back room of Freddy's Bar is packed and steamy, which brings the Carmen out in Miller.
The feedback is a lot more immediate and close, so you can see people's expressions and see how they're being affected by what you're doing.
None of this drama is noticed by the crowd in the front room of the bar, where the lights are low and the jukebox is the only diva. It was here, over a beer, that the concept of Opera on Tap was born. Lyric soprano Anne Ricci had moved to New York to pursue her singing career, but she was depressed and in debt, so she came to Freddy's to hear a country music band.
You know, I was just sitting there kind of lamenting my situation over my drink at the bar to Donald O'Finn, who's the music booker there and the bartender. I just said, you know, it's amazing to watch these performers. They just have so much fun, and I haven't had fun in a really long time doing what I do. And he immediately was like, well, I like opera. Let's try an opera night.
Ricci had a lot of friends in the same situation, classically trained singers in their 20s and 30s who had performed roles in small local companies but hadn't hit it big yet. Now they were going to be headlining the back room.
It's small, very intimate, definitely smells of stale beer, and the bathroom's there too.
In those early days, the bathroom was their best form of publicity. If you wanted to pee, you had to listen to opera singers. Now 2 years later, a crowd lines up to get in. And before the performance, singers from around New York come in to audition to join the company, bringing glossy photos and impressive high notes. One of the hopefuls, Alyssa Bulby, has performed with small opera companies in Rome and San Francisco.
So when you were dreaming of being an opera singer, were you dreaming of singing in a bar or maybe the Met?
Probably more the Met, yeah. Still probably more the Met. But, you know, if the bar is on the way to the Met, might as well go to the bar.
Is this something that shows up on your resume?
It depends on how short your resume is.
Oh, did I mention it's not actually a paying gig? Although sometimes the bar does kick in a free drink. No, this is purely for the glory. And for the opportunity to take chances you never could in a formal setting. Scott Rayburn is a baritone who tells the audience tonight he will perform as a tenor.
For the first time ever, I have no idea. Hold on to your glasses because they may crack. And I might as well.
No puede ser. Esa mujer es buena.
During the song, he sings lovingly to his bottle of Corona. And yeah, he's been drinking.
It smooths out the edges a little bit, and everyone else is drinking, so I get right in there. And a lot of what I sing, I actually use a bottle of beer as a prop. So, you know, you almost have to include the beer in the music.
And in a bar, all kinds of things happen that the singers have to deal with. While David Gordon is doing another song from Carmen, at the quietest possible moment, an emergency vehicle speeds by on Flatbush Avenue. Gordon gestures toward the window like they've come for Carmen, and he sings his last note. Now that the word is spread about Opera on Tap, the shows draw quite a crowd. Young arty types like Maria Sinovsky shuttle back and forth between the bar and the music.
Bringing opera into a bar is kind of genius. I mean, in its origins, opera was kind of a spectator sport. People used to toss things at singers. And this is exactly the kind of scene where that might happen again.
while opera buffs like Greg Mugent stay and listen to every note.
What I would say is it's a very good reminder that opera is primarily supposed to be entertaining, and they definitely achieve that tonight. This would be like a $300 ticket at the Metropolitan Opera, so it's nice to get this seat for the price of a glass of wine.
The cocktail waitress, Anna Saris, is enjoying the show. She says it's much calmer than the rock shows that normally pack the bar.
Are opera fans good tippers? Be honest.
Honestly, I'd say half of them are and then half of them aren't.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's maybe they're just not used to it. I mean, that's what I tell myself.
As the solo from Carmen ends, the other members of the Opera on Tap company are sitting on the floor of the bar drinking. At just the right time, they, and even some of the amateurs in the audience, join in on the chorus. The great thing about listening to opera and drinking all night is that everything takes on this epic quality, the struggle of young singers to get noticed in a cruel world. The poor waif of a waitress trying to make it on skimpy opera tips. Even the bar itself is a tragic figure. Freddy's back room is slated for demolition under a plan to build a new basketball arena on the site. Operas don't always have happy endings, but as long as there's beer and a stage somewhere, the company says they'll find another place to sing along. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
And to hear some of the full opera performances from Freddy's Bar and watch the Opera on Tap company in action, go to our website, npr.org.